Great. So question for you. We've talked about, did you say whoop? No, not a joke. Not a joke. Now, I really do have a question. So we've talked about how we need to dispel the lies of the enemy. Yeah, Pastor Allie talked last night about the enemy has one attack, one tool in the shed, and it's just deception. So basically, if he opens his mouth, you can literally just be like, right? And then Pastor Allie talked about you are enough. Prior to this morning, because I know it's never going to be again, but let's just look, because I want to show you something. If I say something that you can relate to, I want you to raise your hand. You've ever thought, I'm not as good as her? Well, we don't have to ask many questions. You've ever thought, I'm not good enough to do this? I'm not good enough to succeed. They'll never like me. Okay, keep your hands up if you answered yes to any of those questions. Sorry. Holly lifted her daughter's hand. All right, now, with your hands raised, I want you to look around. Right? I mean, if we're paying attention and being honest, every one of us will have our hand raised at some point. Because at some point, we've thought, I'm not good enough to do this. I'll never be as good as her or him. I'm not as smart. I'm not as athletic. I'm not as rich. I'm not as whatever, yeah. Right? So we have a saying, you can put your hands down unless you just want to raise them up. We have a saying here, it's not coincidence. It's coordination. It's not coincidence that everybody has had the same lie. It's a coordinated attack of the enemy because he has one objective alone, and that is to destroy anything of God. As a child of God, you are included in that strategy. He wants to destroy you. He doesn't care about Nicole. He cares about woman of God. He cares that I am made in the image and likeness of my deity, that I have the power and authority of Jesus Christ, because that's what he wanted and he couldn't have it. And so he's throwing a temper tantrum, and if I can't have it, I don't want you to have it. And that's what the enemy's doing. So it's like, right? So when you hear those lies, recognize, don't, just never mind them. All those stupid thoughts, that's just the enemy having a little poopy party. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because that's what he does. Yeah. But you know, he'll tell us you're not as good enough if you can't wear this style. You know, growing up, I didn't always have name brand stuff, but I had a cousin who it seemed like she had name brand everything. He's like, well, I'll never be as good as her. But now if I got her hand-me-downs, it's like, oh. Like, I remember one shirt, if I saw it today, I'd be like, oh. But I remember wearing this one shirt. It was, like, black, and it had, like, big colored polka dots, because 80s, you know, sheer sleeves. But it was hers. And I'm like, I am something wearing this shirt. Because it was my cousin's, and she's everything, and they've got money, and it's name brand. So in this shirt, I am something. And I thought that shirt defined me. So I wore the shirt, like I wore the mess out of that shirt. Because I heard the lies of the enemy growing up. If you don't, you know, if you didn't live in, I will just talk about where I'm from. If you didn't live in Forest Oaks, you know, where the country club is, you're not good enough. If you don't have, you know, blonde hair and blue eyes, you're not good enough. If you're not 36, 24, 36, you're not good enough. If mommy and daddy won't buy me, let's get real. Yeah. You know. And so it's like. Right? Look, y'all, I've worn stuff so tight, I almost passed out. And then I was just like. I may have the top 36, but the rest of it's like. We'll just stick with 36 straight down. I mean, you know, let's be real, right? But that's what the world tells you. If you're not a part of this social status, if you're not a part of that bank account, I mean, and let's get real. You know, we thought that growing up, well, we're rich. You're not rich. You don't have a job. Mommy and daddy buy everything for you. But I was too ignorant at that point to think about it, you know. But that's what the world does. It will tear you down limb by limb, little bit at a time, big chunks at a time. That's what the world wants to do. But praise God, this weekend, you're getting some revelation because never again. Yes. Say it, never again.
Never again
will we hear those lies and accept them. Because we could spend weeks speaking into you about this. But ultimately, it is your job to hear the word being poured out and go, right? Like a baby bird. I mean, what does a baby bird not swallow that mommy and daddy bring to him? Nothing. If mama and daddy bring it to him, like, y'all seen pictures of baby birds? Mouth wide open. They're not like, oh, let me look. I'll take the chicken nuggets and the mashed taters, but none of that green stuff, please. Right? Baby bird's just like, I'll take it all. And so this weekend, we've got to choose from this point forward as a child of God, when it comes to His Word, whether we understand it or not, whether we can comprehend how it all fits, we are a baby bird when it comes to this Word. Lord, You said it. I believe it. I receive it. The end. We will not negotiate with terroristic thoughts. Look, somebody comes knocking at your door. Hello, hi, I'm from Al-Qaeda. I'm going to chop your head off. Can I come in, please? Oh, yes, by all means. Can we have a conversation? I'd really like my head to stay attached. I mean, really, you're laughing at me because that's preposterous. Right? Yet we do that almost daily. Hello, terroristic thought that's in my mind. Let me sit here and think about all the ways that I'd really like you to not be true. And I know that Diddy says this, but it really looks like it's probably true. But, right? If it's not the word, it's terroristic thoughts. And here's the thing, and that's what we're going to talk about today is, you have a responsibility. You've got to know who you are. You've got to take the time to dispel the lies of the enemy and replace them with the truth of God, because you have a call and a purpose. Yes, there are fivefold ministry callings, but as a child of God, every last one of us is called. You are called and chosen to be an ambassador. And the truth, you know, here's the thing. I was just talking to Julie about this. Pastors cannot do it all. Look, I had like 4 or 5 hours of sleep every night this week. I can't be everywhere and do everything. You can't expect your pastors to do it all. Well, mommy, I had a bad thought. Can you make it go away? No! You make it go away. Well, mommy, somebody needs you to hug them. Can you do that? No. You go hug them. You are called and chosen to be an ambassador of Christ, because it takes more than just a pastor of a church. It takes the church to be the church. And that's what this is all about, is the enemy. Look, it's coordination to keep you from being who you're called to be. You are enough.
Yes.
You are enough.
Yes.
You are the anointed body of the one true King. Jesus died taking everything away that would disqualify you, like James, and said, here's everything you need. I took all the stuff, so there's plenty of room. You know, Joni a lot of times will meet me out at the car, or Hannah, meet me out at the car, and you know, I may be walking in with stuff, and they're like, let me take that. And they empty my hands so I'm free to do what I need. This is what Jesus did for you. He emptied your life of your junk. So you were free to be filled up with his righteousness. That's who you are now. The enemy keeps wanting to remind us of who we used to be. But who we used to be is a completely different person. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. If I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, am I anything else? No. I can't be Nicole and Susie Q. I'm either Nicole or Susie Q. I don't know who Susie Q is, but I use her a lot. I can only be who God created me to be. I can't be anything else. You know, for the longest time, I had fears that, because I did not know my husband was going to be a minister. Right? I'd heard the stories that he felt called to ministry at 9. But look, when I got married, I married a Marine. And he was a Marine. Like, we, you know, Corona with the lime and some Marlboros on the side. That's who he was. When I married him, this was nowhere in my view. I'm like, that's cute that at 9 years old you had a dream to be a minister. That ain't who we are. That's where God was like, But then when God laughingly said, I'm going to remove all that junk. You were a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. I get it. So don't tarn, you know, scream at me if you're watching online. I get it. My husband served his country, and I'm very, very honored to be the wife of a vet. Amen. But that does not define him. This defines him. And so when he got defined as a pastor, I said, oh, Lord Jesus. I don't know if you know who you married, but I don't think this church is going to last. I don't sing. At all. Right? You know, so many pastors' wives are on the keyboard, piano, or organ, and I'm like, I play one instrument, and that's the radio. So unless you're going to let me bust out the radio in church, that ain't happening. I'm come from a family of, you know, rednecks. There's no refining. That's not happening. Like, we don't go out shopping to get dolled up. You know, we didn't have rhinestones and lots of makeup and fancy purses. Like, I like my pocketbooks and shoes now. But, you know, I grew up shooting a gun and watching Elvis movies. It was one of the two. And I can shoot now. I just as soon go shoot a gun as to go shopping any day. Or a bow and arrow. Any day. Y'all want to do that? Call me up. I was like, pastor's wife? That's not in the job description. None of it. I'm not enough. And God said, oh, honey, that's cute. Bless your heart. He said, if I've called you, you're enough. Because it's not what I did. It's not who I thought I was. It's who he's called me to be. And if he's called me, he's equipped me. Look, listen to this definition. Enough. I like the way, you know, they spell out the word, how it should sound. E-N-U-F. I'm like, that's how I'm going to spell it all day. We should have made our shirts that said E-N-U-F. Enough. A sufficiency, a quantity of a thing which satisfies desire or is adequate to the wants. You know, the world is right that Nicole is not enough. But God made Nicole in Christ able and adequate. God made you able and adequate. Listen to these scriptures. I'm going to use a lot of scriptures today because at the end of the day, you can walk out and go, oh, that was sweet. Pastor Nicole, Pastor Shanti, Pastor Allie, they think that we're enough. And then one day you'll look in the mirror and you'll be like, but they just don't know who I am. And you can argue with our opinions, but you can't argue with the word. So I'm going to be like Pastor Sean, I'm going to use lots of scriptures because you can't argue with the word. 2 Corinthians 3:4-6. We carry this confidence in our hearts because of our union with Christ before God. Yet, we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. For our true confidence flows from God's empowering presence. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on an entirely new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. We ourselves are not capable enough, but God, right? Yes. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply what?
All
your needs. Yeah. How much is lacking in that?
None.
So what are you lacking?
Nothing.
All snapdragon. So when y'all, you know, I'm sure y'all will never do this, but when y'all hear somebody go to your pastors, oh, Pastor Allie, I just can't do this. I want you to be like, oh, shh, shh. Pastor Allie, I got this. And I want you to pull out Philippians 4:19 and say, okay, first of all, do you believe the word of God? Oh, well, yeah. Do you think the word is true? Yeah. Are you going to believe me if I tell you that God's a liar? Oh, no. Okay, so we're good here. Set them up. And then read. You can even carry them to Psalm 34:10. They who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing.
Yeah, that's right.
So, okay, we got Philippians that says needs, check. Wants and Psalms, check. What you missing?
Right.
Nothing. Right? Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Boomerang hears this a lot from me. Matthew 6:33. What do you have to do?
Seek
first. Do you seek first your status? Do you seek first to be as good as? Do you seek first anything to do with you? Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. What's added to you, though?
All.
All. Yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be. All things means nothing's lacking. Will be means it's not a maybe. It's a definitive. Yeah, well, but I didn't get that GMC Sierra Denali that I was wanting. Then apparently it wasn't all that you needed. There was something better. And lo and behold, something better pops up. Because so many times we'll hold ourselves, even in thinking big, like we'll be like here, oh, if I had that. And God's like, not my daughter. No. My girl's going out in style.
Yeah.
And He'll bump it up a notch. But there is a caveat. It does say seek first. It does say in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord. It does say in Psalm 34, those who seek the Lord. Right? So we do have a responsibility to be God conscious rather than self conscious. But that's what the enemy is all about. It's like He'll throw up a mirror in front of your face. Have you seen you lately? And you need to be like, nah, but I see Him.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Shove the mirror down. Yes, we need to look at ourselves and rightly judge ourselves so we shouldn't be judged. But in doing that, we don't judge ourselves next to Hannah.
Right.
We judge ourselves according to the Word.
Yeah.
Because it's like Pastor Allie said, or Pastor Shanti said, Pastor Allie's call is not Pastor Shanti's call.
Right.
It's not my call. My call is not Patty Jean's call. It's not Sydney's call. I can't hold myself up to another woman because she's not called to be Nicole Wright.
Right.
She's called to be whoever she's called to be. We've got to hold ourselves up to the word. That's the only thing that we need to look at. We've got to be a God-conscious people. So when someone comes up talking smack about us and be like, I don't know who you're talking about, but that's not at all who I see when I look in the word.
Yeah.
Right? Meditate. Be that lion growling. Like, I'm going to just start growling at y'all some days and y'all call me. It's going to be so much fun. I was sitting there thinking, she was talking about this. I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so fun. Somebody's going to call. Pastor Nicole. Pastor Mama. I'm going to be like,
yeah.
And then I'm going to do my very best not to laugh because I'm driving down the road. But it's going to be so much fun. But we've got to meditate.
Yes.
Like that lion.
Yes.
You really think that lion's going to see them hyenas?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Lion King now. You really think that lion's going to see Ed walk up and he's going to move for Ed?
No,
it ain't going to happen. Like, he may hold one foot on the killed lamb and kill, or killed sheep and kill Ed,
yeah.
But he ain't leaving that sheep he just killed.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, look, here's supper for today and breakfast for tomorrow. It's like, you trying to come attack me? Watch this. I'm going to get even more of God. We need to be the kind of women that when we wake up, the devil says, oh, crap, she's up. I thought I wore her out this week. She didn't even sleep till the alarm clock. Can I get a break? No. Because anointed women of God are on the case. You're attacking the wrong people. We've got to refuse to be moved. We've got to refuse to attack ourselves and attack each other and do the devil's work for him when he doesn't want us to know who we are and he doesn't want us to know that we are enough in God.
Yeah.
That's his whole tactic. Look, you are called to be an ambassador of God. That means you think about like an ambassador of, I don't know, France, comes here. He's going to have everything he needs. He's probably going to have a suitcase full of Brie. Right? But he's going to have everything he needs. He's going to have the full power of his country behind him. Whatever France has, I don't know, they have prime ministers or something maybe. Whatever the big dog, he's going to have the full power of the big dog behind him. The big dog's going to say, hey, Jim, or let's see, Jean-Pierre, I need you to go over there to America. I'm knighting you. You got all authority. Jean-Pierre is going to come in America and go, that ain't cheese, first of all. But he's going to take all power and authority of France with him, right?
Yes.
I'm so glad you agree. So as an ambassador of the kingdom of God, is there anything that you haven't been given to ambass?
No.
Okay. So we've got it all. If your praises are to draw men to God, won't you have things to praise God for?
Yes.
He's not going to send, you know, hey, Miss Ann, I want you to go outside and, you know, praise me. But you got holy clothes, you hadn't had a shower in weeks because you don't have running water, your shoes, like you got toes sticking out of your shoes because they're not sandals. And be like, praise the Lord, people can walk past go, first of all, you stink. But second of all, if that's your God, nah. Right? But he needs to see people praise the Lord because they know what they have in him. They know who they are in him. Even amidst the storm, yea, though I walk through the valley,
yeah.
I'm be like, woohoo, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And like, I don't think anybody told her what she's going through. Right? Like we went through the valley with that young lady right there taking pictures when the enemy said, oh, she's dead. And I mean, he didn't just say it like she was dead, like flatline, you know? But Pastor and I sat and praised the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you. You've given us a child.
Yes.
I thank you. With long life do you satisfy. So, Father, I thank you that though the devil is breathing his lies, Lord, I thank you your word is true. And that's all we're going to hold on to. I praise you. People thought we were visiting somebody else when we were in the waiting room because we were cutting jokes and having fun. You're here for your baby? What? What's the matter with you? Laughing. Like you should be crying. No, no, you can cry all you want. I know my King.
Yes.
I know who my God is.
Yes.
I know what he's given me in the gift of a daughter.
Yes.
I don't need to worry and fear. I know my God.
Yes.
And then it causes them to scratch their heads. Well, tell me about this. Like we spent 9 days in the hospital in Charlotte just testifying to the goodness of God. And that's when the enemy's like, beep. He's like, oh, you thought you'd been praising God. Watch this. Because maybe before you thought God was good, but I'm a killer. And it's like, oh, you're an idiot. I'm not. Right? We've got to refuse to be moved. The word of God is enough. God is enough. And because I'm in him, I'm enough. Right? That's who you are. But we've been so self-focused, so self-conscious, as both of these ladies have discussed, that we can't see God's why. God's why is you. God's why is them. God needs us. He has empowered and equipped us to go out and draw people unto him. You see, yes, he could have done it all himself, but he chose not to. He, if you go back and read Genesis, like he longed for you. He created you, not because he had to. Like y'all, before he created us, there were no people to take care of, right? He created us because he loved us. Because he had a desire in his heart. He wanted that fellowship. He said, I'm going to make them just like me. They're going to be Diddy's girls. But he knew some of us girls will be a little slower on the uptake. May take us till 18 years, may take us to 46 years to get saved. And so he needed those of us, Diddy's girls, to go out there and remind those ladies who they are. Remind them of Diddy's love. If you're a mama or an aunt or a sister, got somebody you love, what wouldn't you do for the people you love? Like you'd move heaven and earth. Like, I thought I knew love until I had kids. And then I realized, I don't even know what I've been doing. But you hold that baby. And you look at it. And you just can't put words to it. And it's like, I understand when, you know, my granny and my nana used to say, I could just eat you up. And I'm like, you're weird, you know? And then I had a baby and I'm just like, oh, I could just eat you up. And you just want to hold them so tight, they just come a part of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want to shelter them from the world and put them in a little bubble. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, you would not do for that child. And yet, we're like corrupted flesh. We're still putting down some stupidity, right? How perfect is the love of your Diddy? It's perfect. Absolutely flawless. When he looks at you, that's what he feels. An all-encompassing love that he's just like, I'm going to give her the world. I'm going to give her everything she needs. And his world is heaven. You know, not this world because, you know, I'm going to give her my world. That's the why. That's your why. And when we stop looking at self and we're like, wait, what's Diddy's why? He loves me. He loves them. Let's not even look at me. He loves them enough. He's telling me to go over there, which means he's going to have something for them. And we've got to be so God-focused that all we can see is his love. When we look at the people on the street that drive by us and tell us we're number one, I'm going to hold up this finger, and tell us we're number one, you should be like, oh, thank you so much. That's what my daddy tells me too, but he's a lot nicer than you. And then pray for them to get where they're going. I did that on the way here this morning. Big old 18-wheeler. He turned. I was like, oh, Shantikai, Bostakedadadashake. Because it was like his load was doing this. And I was like, you are in my path. God loves me. I'm getting where I need to go safely. So we're going to pray for you. But that's how we need to live life. So focused on God that even the traffic is subject to our prayers. Right? I want to stop for a minute because it's just been on my heart. I know most of us here have been in church for at least 5 minutes or at least a day and a half, right? But I want everybody to bow your heads for a minute because everything that we're going to talk about today has to do with our fellowship in Christ. And right now, I want you, before we go any further, I want you to know that you know that you know that you know. If I were to die tomorrow, it is heaven that I will see. Because I know my daddy loves me. I know Jesus died for me. I know I've received him as Lord and Savior. And I know that even in my mess, I may have cursed my kids this morning, but even in my mess, Jesus died for me. Right now. I want everyone to say this. Say, Lord, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I give you all of me, and I receive all of you. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me, and I will follow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe I have received. And I keep your eyes closed. Did anybody need that confirmation today just to know that they were loved? Just to know that they were accepted? Amen. I see those. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I see those. See, even in that, we're half raising, some of us are half raising our hands, almost ashamed to admit we needed love. Don't be ashamed. Because every single one of us needed Jesus. That's why he came. It is not bad to need Jesus. It's only bad to not boldly receive him. Thank you for praying that. You can open your eyes. Thank you for praying that. Because I need you. In this kingdom, I need you to co-labor with me. But to be able to do that, I need you to know you can do it. I need you to know you're not alone. I need you to know that you're loved and that you are accepted. You see, God accepts us. He may not approve of lifestyles, but if we'll come as we are, oh, Diddy will help clean us up. But if we hold ourselves back in that shame and nakedness, because down here we don't say what you said, naked. My cheeks don't do that. It's naked. See, if we're ashamed of our nakedness that holds us back, how are we ever going to step under the covering? Right? I'd be about as dumb as standing out in the rain going, I'm so ashamed because if I'm out here in the rain and I'm going to get wet and I can't come under the awning because I'm going to get wet out here.
Right.
That 2 + 2 don't even add.
Right.
It's like, sweet girl, just step under the awning. Look at that. No more rain. Right? That's the simplicity of stepping under the covering of God.
Yes.
No, out here, you're subject to the elements.
Yeah.
You're not enough. You don't have an umbrella that pops out of your head like Inspector Gadget. It'd be so great if we did. It was a cool dude. But what you do have is a covering That is enough. It says, I got all you need.
Yeah.
Step under this awning. You need a towel to dry off? I got that too.
Yeah.
You need some lipstick to reapply? I got that too.
Yeah.
You want some sweet tea? Thank you, Lord, I will. Right? He's got everything you need. We just have to receive him. But look, his word tells us to be being filled. So the same way, look, I'm sure all y'all that prayed that with me have probably prayed the salvation prayer before. But on your good days, pray it again. On your bad days, pray it again.
Yeah.
He says, be being filled.
Yeah.
Fill yourself up with the Spirit of God, with the love of God.
Yeah.
Wake up in the morning. I do this. I know it sounds crazy. I pastor a church. But there are some days I'll go driving into work and I'm like, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that today you are my Lord and Savior. I know some days I just receive you as Savior and I forget to make you Lord. But today, Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior. You are Lord over this day. You are Lord over my job. You are Lord over my kids. You are Lord over me. And because you are Lord over me, that means there's none of me, flesh me, left.
Right.
You know, we talk about it. Remembering, sometimes we use the analogy that if you go to a funeral home and kick a body, what's it going to do? Nothing. I mean, the spectators may scream, but that body is going to be just as dead and stiff and cold as it was before you kicked it, right? Why? Because it's dead. Well, if our flesh has been crucified in Christ, then it gets kicked. You're not as good as her. You stink at your job. I'm going to cut you off in traffic. Like, do we sit there and go, you're number one? Or do we go, somebody tinkled in your Cheerios this morning. And you just keep going, Lord bless them. Right?
Yes.
Because you have no flesh alive within you. You've crucified it in Christ because you are a spirit.
Yes.
You are a woman filled to the full, to the overflow with the Spirit of God. And that makes you enough. Because there will never be a situation where Holy Spirit won't be enough. Ever. And so that's the reason he says, be being filled. Because he knows you need Holy Spirit to go to Walmart, much less live life, right? Be being filled and know that as you are, woo, man, no. So glad we feel today, because hallelujah. Right?
Yeah.
But if you're weak, what happens? One little thing happens and you're like, man, that stunk. Two things happen. Three things happen. It's a Monday. Just need to go back to bed. And then you're just irritated. And it's only 8:37. Well, what's going to happen when you pick your kid up from school and they've had a bad day? Yeah, son, I know. Life just sucks, doesn't it? Parent of the year. Or you teach your kids what to do when life comes at them. Because when life comes at them, your kids need to know Holy Spirit goes at life.
Yes.
Your kids need to know that they are able and adequate ministers.
Yes.
But if we don't even see ourselves as able and adequate, if we can't overcome the poopy heads in the world, what are our kids going to do? They're going to cave to the pressures of school. They're going to think they've got to do this or that to be cool because they haven't seen a parent stand boldly. They haven't seen a parent take their thoughts captive. Well, see my daddy curse, I'm going to curse. Yeah, be like my daddy. Throw out the F word. Then you got a call from the principal. Excuse me, sir, where did little Andy learn these words? His father. Certainly not me on the way to school this morning. Right? The enemy wants to weaken you so you have no testimony. If we listen more to the words of man than the words of God, we'll fall for it. But at the same time, if we need the words of man to build us up, you know, Hannah comes in, "Oh, Pastor Mama, you're so wonderful. I love the frizziness of your hair. It's awesome. I love your 36 straight down. It's wonderful. You are just great. You are just everything I want to be." Oh, baby, you are my favorite. I love you so much. But then Holy Spirit sends her to the Philippines. Where am I while she's gone? Well, Hannah's gone. I got nobody to tell me I'm great. Must not be good today. Yeah. Right? I mean, it sounds stupid, but we've done it. Yeah. Every last one of us. Somebody tells us, "Oh, you were so beautiful today. What do you do?" "Oh, thank you." Aussie. Right? Makes us feel good. And that's okay. But even if somebody doesn't tell you, "Oh, Lashika, that color looks good on you," you need to walk around going, "Man, I rock this purple." Yeah. My daddy likes purple. It's his favorite color. It's color of royalty. Therefore, it's my favorite color. Like, just know who you are. You don't need the words of man. Because here's the thing. Other people's opinion of you is none of your business.
Right?
What's that phrase? Ain't nobody got time for that. I don't need your opinions. I got my daddy's word.
Yes.
I don't need your opinions. I got truth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Know that you are a masterpiece created in the image and likeness of God Almighty. People want to be seen,
yeah.
But do we see ourselves as we really are, or do we just see our earth suit? We don't need DNA. We don't need opinions. We just need to walk in the Word of God and stop holding ourselves back. The enemy cannot stop you. The world cannot stop you. It will absolutely try. We just saw that a couple years ago with COVID. What did he try to do with that? He tried to stop the gospel. It had nothing to do with cooties. It had everything to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we know? Did you see any Muslim, whatever they are, boxes being shut down? I don't know what their buildings are called. Did you see any Muslim churches being shut down? They're not church. I don't even like doing that. What are they called? Okay. Did you see the Muslim mosque being shut down? Not a one. What happened to churches that stayed open, like those Muslim mosques? Preachers arrested. I never saw one Muslim dude on the front of the paper. Muslim guy keeps preaching the Muslim word. Are they the Quran? Okay. Clearly, I don't study Muslim. Like, you never saw any of those pictures in the paper. But I know two of our friends that were arrested. Faced right there on the front page. Right there on social media, right there on the news at 5, smearing the word of God. How dare you say you love people when you keep going to your church and preaching? Oh, yes, I do love people, and I will save them with the word of God. You see, the world wants to stop the church, because they're nothing but pawns of the enemy. Until they recognize you're not a pawn and a minion, step over here into the kingdom and learn who you really are as a child of God and a kingdom ambassador. You want to make a difference in this world? It's not by Red Cross sucking blood out of people's arms. Great job for some of them, fine. But you want to make a difference? How about you teach the people about the blood that covers all? That's who we're created to be, a kingdom people that will not be stopped no matter what. Come hell or high water, I will not be stopped. You want to shut my doors? Shut them. I'm going to go in the parking lot with my big speakers. I'm going to blast it. Thank you so much. Because you know what these neighbors and these neighbors heard? They heard the gospel. And maybe they don't ever want to come out of their trailers. But they heard it today. That's fine because we're loud. I talked to somebody yesterday. She goes, what church do you pastor? I was like, my husband and I pastor Memory. She goes, oh, y'all were there. Y'all were loud. I was like, oh, you know us? She goes, yeah, I live close by. I was like, oh, praise God. We're so glad you're neighbors. I was like, I didn't apologize. I'm not sorry. Get your butt in the building. You'll hear it even better. No distortion. But we've got to refuse to be moved. Recognize the tactics. If everything God does is to get his love to you, that means everything the enemy does is to stop that love from getting to you. If the world system, as Pastor Ali said, is the devil's system, why would we want it when we know he's trying to kill us? Right? Like, look, maybe not at you, but at me, there's some days I'm like, what in the world were you thinking? Oh, that's right, you were in the world thinking. How about we get in the kingdom? Oh, that made so much more sense. The world has nothing for you, but the world absolutely needs you. Absolutely needs you. Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's everything they want to be. You know, kids, they want to be different and stand out. Right? They like their superheroes because they're special. Where do you think they get that? That's not even a fleshly desire. That's who they are bubbling up within them. You are special. You are different. Because you are created in the image of God. You can't get more special. You want superpowers? Pray a girl back to life. That's some superpowers. Lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. That's some superpowers. Pray for somebody that they get out of debt and watch it happen. That's some superpowers. I don't care about somebody can bend metal. Okay, whoop-de-doo. Do something that really helps me. Right? They're wanting to be who they already are, and they just don't know it. The world needs you. Yeah, but. Okay, let's talk about that big but right now. It's got no place in your vocabulary unless it precedes God. Right. But God. Yes. Your family, it's no excuse. Well, you just don't know my people. No, I do know your people. Here's your ditty. Here's your brother, Jesus. That's all the family you need. And then you got a whole church. That's your family. Now look, even in the church, I mean, some of us are a little woo some days. Just bless our hearts. You know, there's always that family. Yeah. Pastor Brian and I looked one day and it's like, why are we the only normal ones in the family? Everybody's so weird. And then we stepped back and we were like, if everybody else is weird and we're the only ones that are different, maybe we're the weird ones. That's okay. I'm all right with that. Right? I'm okay not blending in with the world. I'm okay not blending in with family if they won't take their identity in Christ. I praise God. I got a mama who drove over an hour to come to a women's conference. Amen. That's my family. But she's not my identity. I identify with this father. And she's good with that because she's watched. As I've gotten more and more into him, she's watched me come out of fear. She's watched me become who she always wanted me to be. A girl who will exceed and be successful and not be scared of her own reflection. Because that's a love of a mama. And I get not every family, blood family, is like that. But God. Yes. Amen? Yes. But God. Your education, it's no excuse. We just watched as Rachel and William graduated. They graduated college before high school. I don't quite know how that works, but somehow it did. But what was really cool was we watched this woman who was graduating adult high school at the same time. And I mean, this lady was, what'd you say, probably early 60s, yep. late 50s, early 60s? Yep. I'm like, praise God. Like, she went most of her life with no closure on her education. But she didn't let it hold her back. She saw she had a daughter that she wanted to succeed. And she said, I can't let you be held back, and I'm not going to be one to hold you back. It doesn't matter what your education is, was, were. Like, it, none of that matters. Are you educated in the Word? I don't care if you know the square root of 64. I don't care if you know the little letters that make up the element for aluminum, right, on the periodic table. I don't care if you know about the Indian War. Tell me about this. Yeah. Tell me about Ephesians. Yeah. Tell me about the God of Jacob, yeah. the God of Abraham. That's the education you need.
Yeah.
Look, I've got degrees. None of y'all knew that, except unless you go to Impact with me or seen pictures. Because I can speak with or without a degree.
Yeah, that's right.
I just need the Word.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Our bank account, it's no excuse. I've preached when it was a ramen noodle kind of night. I preached when it's a Ruth Chris kind of night. I prefer the happy medium of Taco Bell kind of night. With the Three Musketeers to wash it down. Your bank account does not determine your ability to minister the Word of God.
Right.
Now, that said, let's go back to Matthew 6:33. You may start with a ramen noodle kind of night. But I guarantee, as you take your identity in Christ and you become the ambassador you're called to be, oh, you won't stay at a ramen noodle kind of night unless you choose to. Because, I mean, ramen noodles ain't bad when they're by choice, right? You can't stay at a 50-cent supper when you're serving the King because He honors those who honor Him. So you don't get to use the excuse of, oh, Diddy, it's raining and I don't have the money to step under the awning. Right?
Yeah.
It's as simple as a choice. Look at this. As a tither and a giver, you will always have an abundance. Malachi 3:10-12. Says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house and test me now in this. It's the one time the Lord's like, come on, bring it. All right? I'm like, he's a little Southern, a little Italian. Right? Test me now in this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. He's like, look, watch this. You do what I tell you to do. I'm not only going to bless you. I'm going to bless you so much that Susie Q next door is like, woo! Man, no, I'm glad I'm her neighbor. Right? Then, because wait, there's more. ShamWow. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will the vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord God Almighty. When we do what God has called us to do, do you really think the Lord needs your tithes and offerings? Like one pebble of His gold street will be more than enough for the Milky Way galaxy, right? And yet He's asked us to tithe and give. Well, Lord, why do you need my money? Like it's one of the biggest things fault in the church. Well, it's New Testament. You don't need to tithe. What? If in the Old Testament God tells me how to be blessed, why would I stop wanting to do what could get me blessed? Right? It goes back to that, Satan, your 2 + 2 don't add up. But yet we'll make every excuse because we'll listen to the lies rather than see the why. In this why, it was all about you. Did you see that? Bringing the tithes and offerings has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with you. Yes. And look, the tithe is the 10%. That's the obedience. That's the set. The offering is the overflow. Yes. And it's all about you. He wants to open the windows of heaven for you. Yes. Pour out a blessing for you. Yes. So it will overflow for them. Your bank account doesn't matter. Your heart and your giving matters. Start with what you have. If it's a piece of bubble gum, start it. When you reap a whole pack of bubble gum, sell it to your neighbor. Now you got a dollar. Sow it. Next thing you know, you got $10. Give your tithe. Make an offering. Next thing you know, you own the bubble gum store. Because God is good. Yeah. Okay. Go back to Philippians 4:19. What does he supply?
All.
All. Here's another one. Look, don't shout me down because I'm about to preach good. No family excuses, no education excuses. Speaking of education, real quick, he who wins souls is wise.
Yes.
If you don't want to walk around like an ignorant person that don't have all the lights on, how about you go win some souls?
Yeah.
Why do you think the enemy fights that?
Yeah.
He who wins souls is wise.
Yeah.
Because in winning a soul, they receive the salvation and kingdom inheritance. You receive wisdom. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Remember the enemy? He doesn't want anything winning. He doesn't want them saved. He doesn't want you wise. But the last, well, next to the last one. Hormones, not an excuse.
Yeah.
Say, I love you, Pastor Nicole.
I love you, Pastor Nicole.
Your time of the month, I don't care.
Yeah.
You pregnant, I don't care.
Yeah.
Menopausing, don't care.
Yeah.
Hysterectomy, don't care. Because you give me one scripture, just one, that tells me that the Lord says, you need to love like the Father loves, unless you're hormonal, and then I'll shut my mouth. Y'all need some time to find it? It's not there. Like, we are not created like the beast. We don't walk around, good morning, Abby. You do that to me and be like, oh, you're meditating on the word, praise God. That's the only growling you get to do. I used to do that in the mornings. It's like, good morning, Nicole. Morning, people. Say, I'm a morning person. There's some morning people that we're still blessing their hearts because, like Deb, oh, it's 5 a.m. Meanwhile, I'm like, it's 5 a.m., praise the Lord. God is good. And then I hear the chorus in my head all the time, even at 5. I'm like, okay. I'm a morning person. Nobody comes to the door. I'm a morning person. I'm a morning person. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm a morning person. Hormones and the time of day do not dictate the goodness of your God. And here's one for you. Age. Just a number. I love this example. Moses. Listen to the life of Moses. For the first 40 years of his life. Now in the world, you turn 40 and what kind of party do they give you? An over-the-hill party. Everything's black, right? Because you hit 40. For the first 40 years of Moses' life, he was raised as royalty, learning how to rule. Pretty sweet gig. But for the second 40 years, so keep in mind, 40 to 80. Do we have anybody in here older than 80? One. Okay, so everybody is in this season. Well, maybe everybody's in the first two seasons because not everybody's under or over 40. So all us, save Miss Dottie, we're in season one and season two. So some of y'all are living your royal life because mama pays the bill. Some of us are in the 40 to 80 season where he found himself herding sheep in the wilderness. Y'all feeling it, right? Yeah. For the next 40 years, this is where Miss Dottie is. At 80 years old, God called Moses into a new life. Moses was sent back to Egypt to confront the Pharaoh of Egypt. Y'all, that's a bad butt. He is 80 years old, and he's like, come on, bring it. I got you. Meanwhile, like in the world, you look out there, and there's some people that are 50, and they're going, oh, I stood up. Moses demanded that the Pharaoh free his Hebrew slaves and allow them to leave Egypt. So at 80 years old, and for the next 40 years, Moses was leading the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the wilderness on their way to Canaan. Don't tell me I'm too old. You, like, none of us have an excuse. If there is breath within our body, that means the breath of God is within our body. And one breath did what? It raised a life. It raised a people. Yes. One breath is all it took to raise Adam. If there's a breath within your body, you have a call, you have a purpose, you have a mission, and you are called to have fruit. If you have one breath within your body, I don't care what your first 40 years look like. I don't care what your second 40 years look like. What does today look like? Yes. People would look at Moses when he's 42 and go, man, you're a failure. You had everything. You were living in the kingdom. You were royalty. Now you're herding sheep. Sheep stink. You're a failure. Oh God, I'm so sorry. I failed you. What if he'd have just given up? It would look very different, would it not? Age is just a number. And here's one more for you. The fact that you used to be or ever were a victim is not an excuse. And I know right now that may be stepping on toes of somebody here or somebody watching. But here's the thing. The moment you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became a new creation in Christ. And you immediately took off the label of victim and became a victor. You were wearing the crown of victory because praise be to God who always leads us to triumph. Yeah, but they hurt me. I understand that. And you choosing to be a victor doesn't make their wrong less wrong. But it's absolutely a choice to say, I refuse to let the tactics of the enemy have more of a role in my life than the love and freedom of God. I refuse to be held back and labeled a victim where the world can pity me. Because if they're pitying you, they're not receiving from you. If you're not forgiving, what happens to your own forgiveness? Forgive so that you can be, right? You see how the enemy works it? Oh, bless your heart, poor baby. I'm so sorry this happened to you. And listen, I'm not making light of the attacks. There are legit attacks, but there's a legit Savior who has healed all, forgiven all, and wiped all. You are so much more than a victim ever could be. You are a victor. And the victims that are out there need to know there's hope. They need to know there's more. They need to know this will not define them their whole life. That's who you are. This is why forgiveness is so needed. Healing is so needed because you are a new creation in Christ. For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Lord, I know all that mess happened. I know Bo Cephas did this. But Lord, I've got faith in you. I've got faith in your word. I know I am a new creation in Christ. New creation means you're not a part of the old. Completely new. Like if I go make a new meal, I don't have a little old, a little new. It's all new. Otherwise, it's just called glorified leftovers. Right? You were a new creation. That means the stuff that happened to you yesterday, that didn't happen to you today. That didn't happen to who you are today. That happened to another person. Because you are a new creation in Christ. Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. But you have received a spirit of adoptions as sons and daughters by which we cry out, Abba, Father. It's time that we stop allowing the lies of the enemy to hold us back. Pastor Shanti said it. Hurt people, but healed people, help healed people. And here's the thing. Somebody that was hurt you. You get that? If you continue to hold on to that hurt, you're going to hurt someone same way they did. So you know what that makes us? Equal with our attacker. Equal with the person that hurt us. When God's called us to be equal with Him. He's called us to be in His image, His likeness, with His power, His authority. Imagine what it would look like if we prayed for that person, for their healing. Think of all the other victims, potential victims, that we could save. If we pray for Bo Cephas to be saved and set free and healed, and he became a new man. Think of the difference Paul made. Let that Saul be the Paul. Lord, I know they did wrong, but if Jesus could lay there, hang there, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who are we to say, I'll never forgive them? Who are we when the Savior of the world that was beat beyond recognition could not be recognized as a man because he was so severely beat, yet loved with the heart of the Father so much that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, the people that hurt you, they didn't know what they were doing. They were hurt. They were lashing out. No, they knew. Maybe here, but here they didn't. Because you can't operate with the heart of the Father and know or not know pain, right? And you can't operate with the heart of the Father and desire pain. So I say it again, the people that hurt you did not know what they were doing. They were hurting because they hurt. So right now I want you to close your eyes. And be it any attack, rape, your parents gave you up, I mean, all the way down to somebody just talked smack about you, looked at you the wrong way. I don't care what it is. I want you to choose right now to see that person and see the love of the Father for them. I want you to choose right now to see the rope of anger that has been wrapped around you. Picture it. It's pretty thick. Wrapped around you. It's wrapped around your arms so you can't lift them fully in praise. It's wrapped around your legs so you can't really run after Christ. In some way or another, it's had you bound. Now, I want you to see that rope fall to the ground. Step out of it, because it's not holding you anymore. It's behind you. We're going forward. We're not looking back. That rope is not only not holding us, it's not even in our sight. I want you to feel the freedom. Raise your hands and praise if you want to, or just feel the freedom of being free. And now, as though somebody is pouring oil over top of your head, I want you to feel the love of the Father pouring onto your head, rolling down your cheeks, down your nose, rolling over your lips like a warm kiss, rolling down your chest against your heartbeat. It's rolling down your belly, down your knees, down your feet. It's everywhere. The warmth of the Father's love. That all of joy and gladness. Can you feel it? You are women who have been freed by the love of the Father. The moment you accepted Christ, you became free. You just may not have known it. And that's okay. You know it today. There is nothing holding you back. There is nothing holding you down. Now, arise as daughters of the one true King. Stand strong. Can you see yourself? Standing strong. Standing with that robe of righteousness. Standing with that crown. You are crowned with royalty. Accepted into the Father's family. You already are victorious because you were a part of a victorious family. Never again can you fail because you've got a kingdom surrounding you. You see, Christ died to put that crown on your head. He died to wrap you in that righteousness. Never let anyone, including yourself, take it off ever again. When the lies try to come, I want you to close your eyes and do this exercise. And if you want to growl at the end, growl at the end like that lion, but refuse to let go. I've tasted of His love. I'm not giving it up. You can't pry it from my fingers. I've tasted His freedom. I'll not bind myself. Now, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to look to your left. You see her? Look to your right. You see her? You're a part of a family. You will never ever be alone. Yeah, but I feel so alone. Feelings are liars. You will never be alone. It's time that we stand boldly together as daughters of God. It's time that we stand arm in arm. Ladies, we've let the lies of the world separate us for far too long. I touched on it last night. So many of us, self included, I'd rather work with guys than a bunch of nagging women. Why does the enemy want to separate us? Because it's all about destruction. Whatever the enemy attacks, we should run to. We should run to each other. I need to be able to run to you when I'm having a day where I feel alone. And I need you to straighten my crown and say, dry it up, baby girl, because that's not who you are. Like, don't sit in a pity party with me. I don't want to stand up. I got a white shirt on, y'all. Don't sit down in the mud with me where we can both get stained. We need to pull each other up. Hose each other off with the water of the word. Straighten the crown and stand boldly together. That's why the enemy attacks the unity of women in God. Because he doesn't want us to know who we are. He doesn't want us strengthened. What happens to whatever, the sheep that runs out of the pack? That's how that lion killed it. Because it freaked out, left the family, and went running on its own. When we go off on our own, we are absolutely subject to the attacks of the enemy. But when we step in the family of Christ, right?
Yeah.
Whatever anything was, we have no excuse. The issue is, the issue isn't that we're never enough. But the issue is we don't know God enough. And because we don't know God enough, we don't truly know ourselves enough. You know, I gave the testimony last night. I didn't know who I was until I stepped into my calling as a minister. I thought I knew who I was. I knew what I felt like. But feelings are not truth. You know, we have a thing here at Boomerang where we say feelings are the F word. And you know, I said that because so many women were calling, I feel this, I feel that. And I'm like, if y'all say the F word to me one more time, you're going to feel something. And yes, many times I feel is like the F word because we don't do with our feelings what we're called to do with them. Our feelings are a tool. It's like a wrench. They should point us, turn us in the right direction. You put a wrench and turn it, and man, it's going to loosen or tighten, whatever it needs to do. So when we have feelings of pain, that should turn us to God for healing and comfort. When we have feelings of anger, which anger is typically rooted in fear, that should turn us and point us to the victory of God in Christ. When we have feelings of loneliness, it should turn us to our family and Diddy's love. We have feelings of excitement and happiness, it should turn us to praise. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I'm all about some hymns. I like some hymns. I like Elvis hymns. But I can't stop with just hymns. Because yes, there is a time for holy reverence. But man, there is a time for praise that's just like, ooh, you about to make this white girl dance, woo, right? Those feelings of excitement. Why can we go to a rock concert? For y'all, I do country. But why can we go to George Strait and go, woo, sing it, George, yeah! But we come in church and it's like, oh, praise Jesus. Like we smelled something. Our happiness and excitement should be the wrench that turns us to praise. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for that cardinal. It's so beautiful. You did that just for me, didn't you? Lord, I thank you for those squirrels that are outside my window because I love watching Rachel be so entertained by watching three squirrels. That's not even like a story. That's legit. Like, we should praise God. One thing I love that children's ministry taught our kids was to think of three things that they're thankful for. And so Luke and I do that every day on the way to school. All right, bud, what are you thankful for today? We're thankful for trees. This week we were thankful for birthdays and Nerf guns. You know what? I'm thankful for Nerf guns too because they make my baby boy happy. I'm also thankful for them because it's funny to watch the videos that I get from the office staff who are older than 11 shooting each other. Right? But we should praise God. Feelings are not bad unless what we do with them is not right. But if we focus on our feelings and ourselves, we'll get stuck and stained by the mud of those feelings. And we don't need to do that. Because the truth is, with Jesus, you have and you are enough always. Always. Listen to this, Luke 9, 1 through 2. And he called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Do y'all know what a disciple is? It's somebody that's disciplined in the word of God, right? Yeah. So could I say fairly that we're all disciples? We're a disciple of Jesus because we are discipling ourselves in the word. That's where the word discipline comes from, is because it means to disciple, to train up, right? As disciples, like Luke 9, 1 and 2, he called, he gave, he sent you. You. Not just the person to your left and to your right. Not just pastors. He called, he gave, and he sent you. And Luke 12, 48 says, to whom much is given. Remember, he called, he gave. To whom much is given, much is required. It's just too hard. No, it's not. Because he'll give you the ability. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the resources. You won't lack anything because he's not going to send you without the equipping, without the preparation, without all your needs and wants. He's already promised that. But when we come into a relationship with Christ, we're a new creation, and we've got to not forget that work that Christ has done in it. It says in Colossians 2, 6, and 7, and now just as you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you must continue to follow him. It's not just the day you receive salvation. We must continue to follow him. Let your roots go down deep into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. Lord, I'm just not strong enough. Then get in the word. And you will overflow with thankfulness. But following him requires us to be that God conscious that Pastor Shanti talked about. Right? Joni, come here for a minute. I want you to stand right there. All right, I want you to look at me. Do not take your eyes off me and walk to that wall. Did you hear her say, ow? All right, now, walk to me. How much easier was that? But when I'm up here and you're having to crane your neck, it's difficult. It's painful. She did much better than I would have done because I'd have been like this. Right? You can sit down. We've got to keep our focus on God. She wasn't keeping her focus on God. And that's what that looks like. That was awesome. We didn't even plan that. Oh, comedic relief. But here's the thing. She got where she was going, but was it harder when you had to do this? Like you heard her go, ow, you know, because she's having to turn and twist. And, you know, some of us may still get there. Others of us may fall over the stairs. Some of us may just fall walking anywhere. But when God is straight in front of us and we put God as the center of our lives, it is so much easier to just say, Diddy, I follow you. Praise be to God who always leads us. That means Diddy's got to be out front. We've got to be following him. We can't be looking at ourselves. We can't be wondering if we're as good as she is. We can't spend so much time thinking of everything that we think she is that we forget who we are. Because we know who the Father is. Right? And like I said last night, stop saying anything about Jesus that you wouldn't, or stop saying anything about yourself that you wouldn't say about Jesus. Because you're created in his image and likeness. You're a part of his body. So if you are cutting yourself down, you are cutting the Son of God down. And woo doggy, we won't go there. But here's the thing. You'll never be able to fully believe in others when you can't believe in yourself. You've got to be strong and confident in who you are in Christ so that you'll really know that they have the ability to be so much more than what you see. You know, one of the greatest examples in my life of this is my fourth grade teacher. Like I had third grade, and this was back when they even had E's in the grading system. For some reason, they got rid of E's. Now it's like A, B, C, D, F. But in third grade, they had E's in my third grade. And I got an E. And I was like, there was no 36. It was just like, plump. So I'm like, not smart, not pretty in my own eyes. Not smart, not pretty, not worth anything. Not popular, not outgoing. I just exist as like the redheaded blob. And of course, back then, redhead wasn't popular, so I'm also weird. But Miss Finch saw something, and she made me a member of the safety patrol. That means I got a sash with a plastic badge, right? And it was fluorescent orange, too, so you're going to see it. Yeah, I am something. And every morning I'd get to school and I'd put on that sash. And before the bell rang, I'd either stand out there with the stop sign because even the cars had to listen to me. Or I'd stand at the water fountain and tell kids, stop running. Because with that sash on, I was confident enough to tell them to stop running because Miss Finch said I could. And suddenly I had an identity that I was something. Because she saw something in what I called nothing. And from that day forward, you can ask my mom, if I made a C like the world was collapsing, I remember just like literally it was drama. And I was not a drama person, but I'm like in the kitchen. Oh, I gotta call mom and tell her I gotta C. I did. Because Miss Finch believed in me, I was going to prove her right. So the entirety of 4th through 12th grade, I lived to uphold what Miss Finch saw. Because she saw something in me, I was going to be something. And I worked my butt off to be a good student that would make Miss Finch proud. I left that E back in third grade because one person believed in me for one school year. It affected my entire life. What can we do for one person? Because I'm still just one person. But I'm impacting lives every day. Because one person impacted my life. What can we do for people when we look at them and we know they see themselves as a nobody? But because we believe in who we are in Christ, we see who they could be in Christ. All they need to do is to know it. And we get to make the difference. How would this world change? If one person affected one person who affected one person, man, in no time this world would be saved. You see how important it is for us to first believe in ourselves. Because if I didn't believe in myself, look, glass house, y'all, I didn't want to do a women's conference for years. Because not because I didn't think that y'all would come, that it would be good. I didn't think I was good enough. What am I going to give them? I'm not giving you anything. I'm telling you the word. He's giving you everything. I'm just the voice box. But are you receiving something this weekend?
Yes.
You've received something from multiple people. Not just me, but it took me deciding that I believed in God to operate through me to make this happen. Because Pastor Brian wouldn't make me do it. But the moment I said, all right, Lord, fine, I'm going to stop fighting you. I'm going to stop running. Fine, we'll do it. But you're going to have to pour out. And he's like, as if I wouldn't. You know, sometimes he rolls his eyes at me because I don't deserve it. But we love because we're first loved. The world needs the love you have. But you've got to freely receive what's been freely given and freely pour it out. They're not always going to deserve it. We didn't. They're not always going to earn it. We can't. But Jesus died for them. So they absolutely now deserve it and earn it. Because Jesus deserved it for them. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. We've got to be content in who we are in Christ and what he's given us. What's the purpose in all this? What's your purpose in life? You know, so many people, how can I be a woman of God? How can I be the best wife? How can I be the best mama? What am I supposed to be as a woman of God right now? What am I supposed to do? And it's just like, you know, and smoke coming out the ears because we just don't know. I don't even know what my purpose is. I'm going to tell you. I'm so glad you asked. Luke 9:12-17. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came up and said to him, dismiss the crowd, get rid of these people, so that we can go into the surrounding villages and countryside and go find lodging and some to eat. So here's what the disciples are saying. Jesus, get rid of all these people. We want to eat and go to sleep. That's what they're saying. But Jesus said, you give them something to eat. What? I can see him saying that now. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy for all these people. So what are they saying here? Jesus, we're not enough unless we can go get from somebody else who's enough. I only have a little bit. That's what they're saying. I'm not enough. For there were about 5,000 men. But he said to his disciples, have them recline to eat in groups of about 50 each. They did so and had them all recline. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and gave them to the disciples again and again and again and again to serve the crowd. He supplies. They had to take what they had and give it to God. God supplies. I had to take what I have and give it to God. And God is doing the supplying. He's using my hands to bring it to you. But it's Diddy that does the supplying. It's not that we don't have. It's that we've looked with eyes of disbelief. And we haven't given what we do have to God to be blessed. You have everything you need. You are everything He needs. Because remember the beginning we prayed? And you accepted Him as Lord and Savior? Either for the first time or the 51st time. You have and you are everything you need. And here's what I think is so great. They ate and were all satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, were 12 baskets full. Now look, don't go making like some doctrine over this. But I found it interesting. How many disciples were there? How many baskets were left? Every one of them had more than enough when they took what they had to God. Isn't that interesting? You see, Jesus took the fish. He blessed them. He gave them. The fish were always there. The supply is always there. What do you have? Have we given it to God? Really? Because see, just saying, hey, Jesus, I got this. I got this, Jesus. You see this? I got this. This is all I've got, Jesus. This is all I've got. Just, Jesus, do you see that this is all I've got? Like, that's what we do. Do you see this is all I've got? Meanwhile, Jesus is like, yes. And if you'll give it to me, then I'll got it. Right? And as long as we sit there and look at all I've got, we'll never empty our hands for Him to fill us with all He has. You see, the thief comes only to steal, John 10:10, to steal your authority and to steal your inheritance in Christ, to kill your identity, your faith, your hope. But it's not enough there just to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your testimony, your purpose, and the seeds that you've planted into the lives of others. He wants to destroy every man and his legacy. Because if a man is in Christ, his legacy is Christ. Has nothing to do with you. He hates Jesus. And therefore, he hates you. Not personal. It's all about Jesus. You have a purpose. You are not just women, wives, moms, daughters, sisters, employees, you were called to impact this world and expand His kingdom. Yeah. I want to read you something. Have you heard the term Ezra Conegdo? Yeah. You are Ezra Conegdo. Being a woman is a ministry in and of itself. Because you were chosen. God could have made you a dog. He could have made you a man. He could have made you a tree. He chose to make you a person. And He chose to make you a woman, right? Ezra Conegdo is a caretaker, a comforter, a nurturer, like Holy Spirit, like the Father. If the caretaker can't care, what happens? Who's there, right? Listen to this. This comes from Wild at Heart. If you've not... Those that won Captivating, I highly encourage you to read that. Every woman should read Captivating and Wild at Heart. Captivating is about women. Wild at Heart is about men and why God created and how God created women to be who they are and why how God created men to be who they are. Phenomenal books. Every human needs to read them both because then we would understand each other so much more. But listen, Eve is given to Adam as his Ezra Conegdo, or as many translations have it, his help meet, because she was metered to him. She's not under him. She's not over him. She was metered to him. Or helper. Doesn't sound like much, does it? It makes me think of like hamburger helper. It's like, that's great. You know, or you get to be the helper for school today. But Robert Adler says this is a notoriously difficult word to translate. It means something far more powerful than just helper. It means lifesaver. The phrase is only used elsewhere of God when you need him to come through for you desperately. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides on the heavens to help you, Deuteronomy 33:26. Eve is a life giver. She is Adam's ally. It is to both of them that the charter for adventure is given. It will take both of them to sustain life, and they will both need to fight together. God could have stopped at the Adams. He chose the Eves.
Yeah.
You were needed. You were called. You were chosen. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, the word tells the men to treat women like a precious vessel. Not because she's fragile and weak, because she is a precious being needed in his kingdom. And she should be esteemed as such. You're not weak. And no, you don't need a man to be whole. There are some people who were not called to be married, and they are just as whole as those who are married. And regardless of what Jerry Maguire says, you do not complete your man. Christ came and made us all whole. That's the only thing that we need to be whole. But the world does need bold men and women of God so that the world will know the one man that gave everything for them to be complete. He gave everything for you, and you already are complete. They need to know the Savior that made them enough. He set spiritual laws in place and utilized our partnership. He created you to rule. Back in Genesis 1 that I mentioned earlier. How awesome is that? What a loving Father. He could have just created us to be like morons, just, you know, yes, Lord, right? Doing the robot, I can't do the dance. You know, but he didn't. He created you with all power and all authority, all dominion. That's who you are, already are.
Yes.
Not becoming, already are.
Yes.
You need to stop trying to be a normal woman. I'm telling you now, you're not normal. And praise God for that. Look in the world. What does a normal woman look like? A normal woman is stressed out trying to be everything the world thinks she should be. A normal woman is so fearful that she'll never be enough. Fearful over her kids. Waking up in the middle of the night to see if they're still breathing. This is what normal women do. This is not who we are. Normal women strive to prove themselves. Feminism, we're good as men. Yeah, dummy. The word already said that. Being a woman is great, yes. But I don't need to tear down a man when my God has already told me I'm great. This is what normal women do. They're Fruit Loops. Because they've not had you to show them who they really are. You have power and authority to make a difference. Ladies, we have nothing to prove, nothing to earn. We're called to be something higher. We're called to rise up. The world needs us. And it's time for us to awaken to the truth of who we are. It's time for us to be like, enough is enough.
Yeah.
You are enough because Jesus is enough.